Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. Robbie and Rex Road sponsored by First Horizon, big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. We'll have Corey Curtis from News 2 with us at 8:30 today on the program. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. Right now, discussing the hiring of Mike Borgonzi as the next Titans general manager. Borgonzi, the assistant GM in Kansas City, and he is now the newest member of the Tennessee Titans. Expecting a press conference later this week at some point on the Borgonzi front. So we'll see what that looks like and how that goes. That will be a very fascinating press conference when that happens. Joe, I do want to get to, on the Borgonzi front, something from Albert Breer from SI.com at Monday Morning Quarterback. He put this out there in his piece today. I'll just read a brief part of it. It says, initially, I was like a lot of people looking at the Tennessee opening. With President of Football Operations Chad Brinker in charge and Coach Brian Callahan in place, it was natural to ask whether the position was a real general manager position. The Titans insisted that it was. Landing Borgonzi, one of the top GM candidates in the league, seems to prove it. That said, the structure intentionally is a little different than what most NFL teams employ, or a lot different. Callahan will report to Borgonzi, and Borgonzi will report to Brinker in a setup that mirrors what you'd see in other sports. This is where Breer's comments get interesting, Joe. It says, Borgonzi will oversee coaching, scouting, sports medicine, sports performance, and player development, and have final say on the roster. The idea generally is to allow Borgonzi to focus on building the team and football operation and take some of the newer age elements of the job off his plate. What do you make of that from Albert Breer?
I don't really know what to make of any of this anymore. I just, I'm basically to the point where it's like, show me the freaking football team. You know, like the Titans have made it so we talk so much about people wearing suits and they're extremely boring.
You know, it really is.
I mean, that's what happens when you're constantly changing things and you're bad. If you have bad football teams, then obviously that stuff changes every year. And it's, I don't know. I mean, obviously the Titans are in, they're in severe damage control mode right now, just with the overall performance and all the just wacky, bizarre moves that their owner has made. And so, look, I will say that amid all this stuff, Borgonzi was definitely someone who was one of those obvious people out there who could get a GM job. So, you know, I mean, if nothing else, I would say this speaks to like Brinker's ability probably to be convincing, you know. I don't know, does that help get like a good free agent too? You want to take it to that? Maybe he's very persuasive. I mean, we had Ray and it was like, oh, he's great relationships with people and you know, it's going to be so huge. And he really like gets to know the players. I'm like, okay, great. I mean, you know, does he sign good players and make good choices or not? But it's just like, it really is. Maybe I'm on an island here, but like, I'm so sick of all of like the who's doing what and doing this and this title and that title. And
you're not on an
island. Duty. And it's just, man, pick some people in suits, hand them their neckties and see if you can get some good football players for once.
I got one text that says, will the new GM be bringing the refs with him asking for a friend? It's good. A lot of conversation about the officiating with Kansas City, Joe.
Yeah. Well, and to their credit, they didn't call that one where Mahomes is like, okay, I'm just going to stand here and let you hit me. Here, let me come here. Right here. Go ahead. Hit me right there. Come on. Hit me.
A somersault after that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think that's a little overblown personally. I mean,
forever Duke. They were helping the Patriots, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's like Duke basketball. You know, let's ask Vingan. But if you're not a Duke fan for all those years, it would always be like, oh, Duke gets all the calls. Like, yeah, I don't know, maybe sometimes. I mean, you know, Mahomes has had certainly had a lot of calls that have gone his way in terms of like roughing and things like that. But other QBs get those too, right? I mean, it's just how they call roughing, right?
Yes, which is a different conversation for another day. But yeah, like,
yeah,
it's, I don't know that there's some grand conspiracy on the Kansas City Chiefs part of it. But look, if there is, if Borgonzi has some insight to bring some of that here where the Titans benefit for some calls, hey, I'm all for it. Why not?
Sure.
That's worth the hire right there.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like Kansas City is like this, you know, it's not Philly or New York, L.A. market, right?
No.
So you just have to get really great and have a generational QB. And then
you have
maybe
the Swifties now.
Yeah, Swifties and Caitlin Clark. I mean, how much did the internet break on that one, you know?
A lot of stuff going on up there in that box. A lot of time spent showing what's going up there on that box as well. Look, I'm not going to sit here and pretend to be a Mike Borgonzi expert. From what I read, from what I hear, a lot of people really like him. He had a good reputation around the league. I think he clearly, Joe, has been on a path that it eventually was going to lead to him being a general manager one day. My biggest takeaway from this is what I said a little bit earlier in the show. Look, well, you know, he was hired. He came from a great organization who's done a lot of winning. The Titans just did that with Rand Carthon, and it didn't translate. So we'll see if this one does or if it doesn't. What it does tell me is the Titans, I think, have done a good job of selling what this job is, right? First with the league. Like, the league obviously was concerned about the structure of this, so they looked into it, and the Titans did a good job of explaining or selling what the job is going to be. Borgonzi clearly felt satisfied enough with whatever the Titans told him to take the job. Now, obviously, there's an elevation in title. There's an elevation in money that comes along with it that you obviously have to factor into this discussion. But I still don't know, even with that in mind, for a guy that most people believe was on a fast track to being a general manager anyway. Like, if he didn't feel like he had pretty good structure in place and a pretty good role with this team, would he have really taken the job at this point? It's a fair question to wonder. So my takeaway is the Titans have done a pretty good job of selling to Borgonzi what their plan is moving forward here.
I agree. I hesitate to, you know, for any any Titans fan who wants to be optimistic, I want to pump the brakes, calm down, don't get too excited. I mean, I think it's pretty hard to get there, but you're into the offseason now. This guy was a coveted candidate. So what does that mean? I think you're probably right that they sold it well to him. And it also may speak to his belief that Brinker's good, right? Yeah. Because certainly it's at least a partnership when it comes to selecting players. I mean, also you wonder about, like, does this speak well to his thoughts on Brian Callahan?
Yeah.
I mean, you have to look at the whole situation. Like, owners, there's just, in this league, you know, there are plenty of owners who, I guess are questionable in certain ways. The money, obviously, huge jump from what he was doing to a GM title job. But again, he could get other GM title jobs. So why this one? Yeah, I mean, I think it speaks, like you said, to them selling him. But also, it must speak somewhat to his opinion on the people he's going to be working with here.
I would assume so. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Your thoughts on the hiring of Mike Borgonzi as general manager by the Tennessee Titans. We'll get into some of those coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We'll have Corey Curtis from News 2 with us on the program here in about 15 minutes. Right now, taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Trevor says, let Borgonzi bake, LOL. Now we're back at it. I mean, for Brinker, I think let Brinker tinker was pretty good. Let Borgonzi bake, coming off of let Rand cook, I really like.
I like let Borgonzi bake. Let Borgonzi be cool like Fonzie.
Now we're trying a little hard, I think.
Here we go. Let's go.
Okay, we can go with Borgonzi Baked. That's fine. Alliteration's always. I mean, I like rhyming too. Yeah. Ideally, if you can have rhyming and alliteration at the same time, that's elite. But in this case, the alliteration is probably better than the rhyming. Let Borgonzi not let the Titans jump the shark like Fonzie.
I now like that a little better.
Way too hard.
Now we're trying really hard, but maybe you can make a T-shirt out of that. That'll be
okay.
Good.
Yeah.
Wes says, as long as they don't use the word collaborate, I'm like Joe. Just show me the players and let's go.
Yeah.
We have spent an inordinate amount of time talking about like GM sayings and phrases and all this other crap. Good yeah. Lord, they need a good football team badly.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Amy. Really appreciate it. Yeah, Robert on the text line said, you know, with the Borgonzi conversation, says, oh, Lord, we heard the same thing about Ran, rinse and repeat. Yes, you did hear, you know. Now, again, with Ran, he was number three with the Niners, right? So there was, you know, like realistically, I guess the way things would normally go, you would think that Peters would be next, then, you know. So Borgonzi has been, I mean, he has definitely been more of like an obvious short list who's next to get a GM job guy than I think Ran was 2 years ago.
Yes.
But you're right, Robert. I mean, of course, like a lot of this stuff is exactly, and it's like this organization, he came from this place, they did this and that. And of course we're going to hear that at the press conference about, you know, his role and whatever decisions maybe he had a significant hand in and things like that. And it just doesn't, I mean, the reality is, like, some people have an obvious, incredible knack for consistently picking players or a process with their scouts and everything that consistently yields that success. But, I mean, just because you came from a place like that, obviously, in terms of GMing and coaching, does not guarantee, nor does it even necessarily make it likely that you're going to do the same thing at your new spot.
Look, I'm just glad they got him in here now, Joe, and he can, even before the press conference begins, he can go through copious amounts of film study on Colt Anderson and Nick Holtz, and we can figure out who's going to be here on the coaching staff, who's not going to be as they move into next year. I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, or they'll just come in and say, hey, I know we went 3-14, but what do you think? Keep everybody? Go run it back? Sure. Sounds good. Let me check that box and move on. Yeah. I mean, seriously, like, I don't know, man. I guess Charles told me it's not weird. So I guess if Charles says it's not weird, then it's not weird. I am looking forward to Charles and his thoughts on this whole thing.
I am. I got one texter that says, everyone said, quote, no quarterback in this class is worth the number one pick in 2017. The best quarterback we've seen in decades, maybe ever, was taken at number 10 overall. This is from an unnamed texter.
You got to show me that where everybody said no quarterback. I mean, the big thing with that class is a lot of people saying like Deshaun Watson should be the top pick, not, you know, some Trubisky kind of came out of nowhere and the Bears organization in its
great
wisdom.
Pick.
Yeah. Went there, but I don't remember. You tell me, Robbie, you remember hearing people saying there's no first rounders in the 17 draft?
No, I did not hear that. Now look, you know,
I mean, someone might have said it, but it wasn't a popular thought.
I don't think anybody expected Patrick Mahomes to turn into this. So that
no.
I will grant you. But, like, I mean, Mitch Trubisky went number two overall. The reason he didn't go one overall was Cleveland had the first pick, and they had just taken Baker Mayfield, and they took Myles Garrett. So there's that.
Yeah, no doubt. Ron says, Caligonzi? What do you think? Caligonzi. Now, listen, actually, it's beautiful. Borgonzi, that gives you the Z. So we're still, the power structure continues to be Burt Nihil, Chad Brinker, Berserker. The Borgonzi part that puts in the Z in Berserker. So Berserker is absolutely locked in, man.
Yeah, I mean, you're
it's
just
going to be, the Berserker era has begun.
I mean, speaking of T-shirts, I feel like that's got to be right up your alley as this next season begins here.
I need a good shot of that Russian metal singer's face, and we will sell these like hotcakes.
DJ Burnside, get on it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, speaking of quarterbacks.
Jay and Silent Bob, you know, maybe coaching special teams. I mean, who knows?
Yeah. It is going to be interesting to see, you know, what does Borgonzi think about these two quarterbacks? Like, regardless of who, like, the final say decision maker is at the end of this, Joe, I would assume Borgonzi's opinion going to mean a lot. on the evaluation of these quarterbacks. Chad Brinkers, I'm sure, will mean a lot. Brian Callahan should mean a lot in this discussion as well. So how does Borgonzi view the Sanders-Ward part of this? And also, like, was that a part of the reason why he took the job? Like, has he already started to look at Shedeur Sanders and Ward and says, you know what? I feel like one of those guys could be great, and this is an opportunity for me to take that guy.
No, that's that is a good point. That's a good point to throw into this is, like, maybe he's already completely locked in on one of those guys and said, oh, I have a chance to have that guy be my quarterback? Well, I guess I'll go to this ragtag operation and hope that that's enough. I mean, who knows? That's possible. As Joel brings up, Mike Borgonzi and Nate Bargatze opening Italian Joint. Is Nate Bargatze excited about the Mike Borgonzi era?
I mean, he should be. I think so. Like, we'll have to get Mike Organ, who's apparently best friends with Nate Bargatze, on the scene to see if he can figure this thing out. But I did, as soon as they hired him, I thought of Nate Bargatze immediately, which is probably a sign of my TikTok feed, which RIP TikTok, that's now back. It lasted 12 hours. So way to go.
You've been on TikTok?
Yeah.
God, you're such a Gen Zer. Incredible. Yeah, I know, my kids are all like, I don't know. They're like, oh, they actually took like 10 minutes off their phone and they're like, oh, no, we're back. Oh, good. Thank goodness.
Yeah. I mean, look, Nate Bargatze wants to open up a theme park here too.
Oh, I'm here for it.
According to Mike Organ. Mike Organ is the source for all things Nate Bargatze. So
I'm here for whatever that guy wants to do, man. That guy should be like the mayor, governor, you know. Whatever.
I'm with you.
That dude's awesome. I mean, the fact that he can make me laugh for more than an hour and never say the F word is actually unprecedented.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. Like, again, my biggest reaction to this, Joe, is I'm just glad it's over. I'm glad that they've picked their general manager, and now we can move ahead here and start to get into how are you reshaping this team? How are you going to rebuild this team? What are you doing this offseason to get this team closer to being competitive? Are you able to make the right decisions? Do you handle the number one overall pick, whether it's sticking and picking or making the trade down? Like, do you handle that the right way? Now that the power structure is in place, I mean, all of us are now along for the ride. So how do they handle it? That starts now that this thing is done.
Yeah, I mean, look, we obviously try to put off draft talk as long as we can, understandably, because we have a long way to go. But I'm actually, like, eagerly looking forward to starting to break down the edges in this draft. And, you know, how does some of the interior linemen in the fifth round look? As opposed to this constant, you know, Game of Thrones / succession thing we've got going on with Amy's team here.
Sounds to me like you would be really excited about the NFL Combine.
I am excited to watch the videos of people who talk to these guys there. It's going to be awesome. I'll be sitting right next to you.
Andrew from Dover says, I think a lot of us Titans fans will be happy if he comes in. We hear from him in the press conference and don't hear from or talk about Brinker anymore. We'll be happy myself if Borgonzi has final say on the roster and the coaching staff. I would assume you're going to hear from Chad Brinker this week.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not going to get that. I mean, think about, you know, remember when we were all trying to figure out what was going on, they were bringing Brinker to those pressers before, you know? Yeah. So, like,
press conference. Yes.
And, like, last year they did, like, kind of like a meet and greet with some writers and stuff, and it was Rand, Callahan, and Brinker. So, I mean, he's sort of been, you know, lurking.
Yes.
Right? Looming the whole time. But, yeah, I don't think you're going to, like, it's not going to be like Steve Underwood where you just every once in a while see him in that glorious mustache walking through the hallway. I mean, I think Brinker's going to be front and center, like it or not.
Joseph, have a safe trip back to Nashville. We will speak with you tomorrow, and we look forward to your return tonight in cold weather with no jacket.
Thank you very much. It should be fun, and should be a good one tonight.
Looking forward to it.
Irish or Buckeyes or none of the above, if you prefer. See you guys.
We'll have Corey Curtis from News 2 with us coming up next. We'll get into the Mike Borgonzi hiring and all things Tennessee Titans with him. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. And we head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic. Corey, good morning. How are you?
You know, I just thought the three of us would get together as NFC North residents and just do, like, shots and misery together, as, you know, the division has the greatest year ever and none of them are capable of making it to the conference final.
Could have a really good time in Cancun together, though. I mean, I'm sure, you know, when Dan Campbell told Kevin O'Connell a couple weeks ago that he'd see him in a couple weeks. I don't know if this is quite what he had in mind, Corey.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. But, man, that's the playoffs. And, you know, how many times do we say it's about getting in the tournament and getting hot at the right time? And what do you
say? No doubt. Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's just start there. So, you know, yeah. Divisional weekend comes and goes. Washington takes down Detroit. Great game between Buffalo and Baltimore, like we knew it would be. The Bills come out on top there. Eagles win as well. And then, of course, Kansas City does what Kansas City does, and that is just continue to win. And their seventh consecutive trip to the AFC title game. Yeah, overall, what did you make of the weekend, and what stands out to you the most?
Well, I think the Commanders stand out the most because Jaden Daniels, you know, look, regardless of what you thought of him coming into the draft, good or bad, no one could have thought he was going to be this good this quickly. His cool under pressure is absolutely staggeringly amazing. And, you know, he has elevated that team. You know, Dan Quinn certainly deserves a lot of credit. He's the head coach. But that team knows they have a guy that will win them games. And they play like it. And he is unbelievable. I see they're a 5.5-point dog. I like them to win over the Eagles next week because they are on fire and he is playing better than Jalen Hurts right now. And I don't think it's close. And so I'm anxious to see that football game because I think they could pull the upset and be that wild card in the Super Bowl. So that was something. And as for the Lions, did you not feel like we watched that game like 17 times this year?
I sure did.
This looks like, you know, the way the Titans found ways to lose game this year. And so it's just a valuable lesson that no matter how bad you think the Titans are, and look, they lost a lot of games this year. When you turn the ball over, you lose. So if they can manage to correct that part of their game this offseason, you can see it can put them in position to win a lot more games. I'm not saying it makes them the 15-2 Lions or whatever, but I am saying it puts them in a position to win a lot more games. You can't turn the ball over that much and win, even when you're as good as the Lions. Shoot, we saw it here with the Titans against the Bengals, and we saw it here with the Titans against the Ravens in the playoffs. You can be great. If you turn the ball over in the postseason, you will lose. That's just what happens. You know, I think I don't know what was the turnover number in the Texans game. I don't think they turned it over, right?
They got allowed 1,000 sacks, though. I mean, it's, you know, it's
They give up 8 sacks.
Yeah,
they give 8 sacks.
It's just big plays at big times, right? Like you got to protect your quarterback, and you can't turn the ball over.
Yeah, and they're livid with their offensive line, and their offensive line hasn't been great all year. I know everybody feels like Stroud took a little bit of a step back this year, and he did because he got pummeled. You know, their offensive line wasn't good enough, and he also lost some pretty good receivers, you know, along the way, but you know that was certainly an issue. And I know everybody's complaining about the officiating in Kansas City, and I get it. But I think most of that stems from when you want a team to lose so badly that any call that doesn't go against them, you're just like, oh, not another one. That's just, you know, when teams lose, they look for excuses, and officiating is quite often the easiest scapegoat.
Corey, when you look at the hiring of Mike Borgonzi as the next general manager for the Titans, obviously he comes from a winning organization. You know, I know that none of us are like Mike Borgonzi experts as we sit here today, but what do you make of the hire, and what do you make of the structure that is now in place with the Titans?
Well, you know, it seems to be a more, you know, clear-cut structure, you know, more of a straight line instead of a tree. And I think, you know, I would think that's more effective in the way you run things, I would think, but you know, they thought the other way was going to be more effective. But, you know, they were 3-14, so you change. I think number one, I think most of us are pretty stunned they got him, because wouldn't – tell me if I'm wrong – didn't everyone consider him the best GM candidate out there for all the teams that needed a GM?
A lot of people did, yes, yes.
Yeah, I mean, so he's top of the list. We all expected them just to tab John Eric Sullivan because, you know, the Green Bay buddy, you know, that's the way it was going to be. So, you know, they got the best guy. And I said this to Jared Friday, you know, regardless of how you get there, you get there. If you asked everybody, you could have Rand Carthon or Mike Borgonzi, who would they say? They'd probably say Borgonzi. Yeah. So you would have to say, regardless of how they got there, they upgraded. I think Albert Breer reported he does have final say on the roster.
He did say that, yes.
And I have gone to the mat on this. There's no way he takes that job without having final say on the roster. And look, Amy Adams Strunk has final say on the roster. Right. Number first and foremost, she has final say on the roster, but he gets to make the picks. He gets to make the trades. There's nobody who wants to be a GM who takes that job because you only get it once. You know, nobody gets hired again to be a GM. Are you going to risk your career on a job where you don't actually get to make the picks? You know, no, you're not. And, you know, he clearly has a plan with the first pick and the $55 million in cap space. You know, and they clearly liked his plan. It was probably the most symmetrical with what, you know, Chad Brinker has to say. Did you hear what Andy Reid was saying after the game?
I did.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when Andy Reid gives somebody a stamp like that, I think it means something to me. Now, look, we all thought the same thing about Chris Ballard when he came out of Kansas City. Yep. And that hasn't worked so well. So that there's no guarantee here that Mike Borgonzi is the magic elixir. But on paper, it's a strong move. And, you know, we'll see what the plan is and see if it works. I can tell you this, if they get a quarterback, it's going to work. If they don't, it's probably not.
So, Corey, on that front, I mean, obviously, from now until the time the draft comes around, we're going to be spending a lot of time talking about Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward and all that. And we'll have plenty of time to get to that. I want to ask you about the veteran market real quickly, just because that could also be an option for the Titans. You can make an argument that that's the better option for the Titans. Yep. So with that in mind, how appealing would an Aaron Rodgers to the Titans scenario be for you if you're evaluating this, if you're Brian Callahan, if you're Mike Borgonzi, when you look at the options that are available or could be available in free agency on the veteran front, where does Rodgers kind of line up to you?
On a scale of, you know, one being, you know, my least favorite decision and 100 being like, oh my gosh, that's the best decision I've ever heard in my life, it would probably be like a negative 50.
Oh, wow. That's,
I mean,
very
he's
bad.
A poison pill. He's a poison pill, right?
He is.
Did he elevate the New York Jets?
He did not. Now, having said that, it's the New York Jets.
Having said that, he's Aaron Rodgers. He's the quarterback. The Cincinnati Bengals were horrible, and Joe Burrow went in there and has made them into a good team. I mean, Joe Burrow is the number one reason. And
I hear that.
I don't know if you
know. The
noticed.
Cincinnati Bengals ownership was not making decisions based on Madden ratings either. So
But the reason the owner is making decision based on Madden ratings is because this team that they put together that some people, you know, had projected as a Super Bowl contender because there are players on that roster. Was an absolute disaster. And that's why, you know, that leads to owners making crazy decisions when the team that's supposed to be good isn't. Okay. And when the team that's supposed to, you know, when you get Aaron Rodgers and you trade for Devontae Adams and you still can't score 30 points, you know, it's an issue. When, you know, the quarterback who's supposed to turn your franchise around goes to Egypt instead of going to mandatory minicamp to work with his team, you know, that's the problem. And you know, does Aaron Rodgers need the practice? Probably not. But it sends a message. It sends a message about leadership. It sends a message about his commitment to the team. It sends a message to the rest of the team about how important they are to him. And, I mean, when you see these teams with quarterbacks that players will just die for. I mean, it's different. It's different. I mean, Steve McNair stood on a podium with this team and with that locker room. You know, you see that with, you know, Jaden Daniels, even this early in Washington. Yep. I mean, there is a ton of reverence for that dude right now. You know, when we talk about the Eagles and they're, you know, obviously where they are, when they have their struggles, because they have moments where you're like, oh boy. But what are those struggles always about? It's always about the quarterback and his relationship with some of the guys. You know, and I'm not saying Jalen Hurts is a bad dude, but that's where people go when it doesn't look right. And so you've got to – that position has to be the most selfless position on the team. I always remember Steve McNair as one of the most selfless people ever that I've covered in a locker room. Because if the Titans lost 44-43, he'd say, I didn't do enough today.
Yeah.
He wouldn't pin it on anybody else. He'd be like, I didn't do enough today. I got to find a way to put two more points on the board. And Aaron Rodgers goes to Egypt. And so, you know, that's – for a team that's trying to establish itself, reestablish itself, and a coaching staff that's trying to establish its culture, I mean, can you imagine Brian Callahan? Is he even older than Aaron Rodgers?
He may not be, now that I think about it.
So he's trying to be the boss of this team, and he's got Aaron Rodgers basically telling him he doesn't matter. I mean, you saw him go to Matthew Saleh on the sideline, and you know, Saleh tries to give him a hug, and he's like, nope. I mean, everybody saw that. It was brutal.
Oh, yeah.
It was brutal. And can you imagine that with Brian Callahan? He's like, nope, I'm bigger than you. And you can't have people on the team, especially that position, who think they're bigger and more important than everybody else. They have to be selfless. They have to be selfless. They have to be willing to give themselves to their teammates and the team. And I'm probably going a little too far on this, but yeah, that's where I'm at on Aaron Rodgers. All right.
Negative 50.
I think it would be a massive mistake. It would set this team back in the long run. It might just be like Zava with Ted Lasso. He could come in and make a splash early, but then the team would crater and he would be gone.
Corey Curtis joins us every Monday morning here on the program. Corey, I figured you might have a strong opinion on the Aaron Rodgers front.
Look, it's not me about hating Aaron Rodgers. It's about me looking at who he is at this point in his life and his career.
No, it's fair.
And where the Titans are. If you were a team that you thought you were a quarterback away from winning the Super Bowl and there were no good choices out there, it might be worth the gamble. But you're building, all right? And he is not a building block. He's a stick of dynamite.
Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
All right, let's go farm avocados with Zava.
Corey Curtis, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic, joins us every Monday here on the show. We'll react to what Corey had to say coming up next. Final thoughts on divisional weekend from the NFL playoffs as well. And looking ahead to the national title game tonight between Notre Dame and Ohio State. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, sponsored by First Horizon Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley alongside Nick Kieser here with you on this Monday morning. Appreciate Corey Curtis from News 2 for being with us in the last segment. Divisional weekend has come and gone in the National Football League. Washington taking down Detroit 45-31. Kansas City a 23-14 winner against Houston. Kansas City advances to their seventh consecutive AFC title game, and they'll take on the Buffalo Bills, who were 27-25 winners last night against Baltimore. Philadelphia a 28-22 winner against the Rams. So the Bills, the Eagles, the Chiefs, and the Commanders, the final four in the National Football League. You know, the Detroit game, and we heard from Rex Road earlier in the show, just a devastating game for the family. It reminded me a lot of the Titans-Bengals game 3 years ago in terms of you're the number one seed. You had three turnovers from the quarterback in the game, and it was more high scoring. It wasn't like – you know, the Titans defense got shelled like Detroit's did in that game. But as Corey pointed out in the last segment, when you turn the football over, it's hard to win in the playoffs. Ask Baltimore last night. Just a brutal night from Mark Andrews. So Mark Andrews has a crucial drop in the first half, and then just an abysmal drop on the two-point conversion that would have tied the game at 27-all. Fumbled the ball on the drive before that. It's just a brutal way for the season to end for the Ravens. Three turnovers. So Lamar had the interception in the first half, also had the fumble, and then the turnover from Mark Andrews. You turn the ball over three times against a team like Buffalo, and you're just not going to win. And I look, you know, we've heard from a lot of people on the show today talking about how they feel for Derrick Henry. He ends up with 84 yards and a touchdown in the game last night. All in all, like that partnership between Lamar and Derrick Henry was really good this year, and I'm interested to see if they can do it again next year together. But just a situation where Buffalo took care of the football and the Ravens didn't, and now we get a Buffalo-Kansas City matchup in Arrowhead for the right to go to the Super Bowl. And, look, I think Chiefs fatigue certainly starting to set in around the country. A lot of discussion about the officiating in the Houston and Kansas City game. There's going to be a lot of Buffalo Bill fans nationwide next Sunday when they take on the Chiefs. You know, I think we just assume that Kansas City is going to get to this point every year. And it's something that I think is pretty easy to take for granted what they're doing. Seven trips in a row to the AFC title game is unbelievable. And, yeah, Chiefs fatigue is setting in with me too, and I'll be rooting for Buffalo coming up on Sunday. But it is pretty unbelievable that Kansas City just continues to put themselves in this spot. Travis Kelce, again, doing what he does in the playoffs. Seven catches for 117 yards and a touchdown on Saturday in that game. So, look, Buffalo, I think, has a good shot to go in there and win. I think Buffalo, at different times this year, has been as dangerous as anybody in the NFL. But it's Kansas City, and it's Kansas City at home. And at this point, with the amount of winning that they've done, I think it would be crazy for me or anybody else to pick against them until we see it at this point. National title game tonight between Ohio State and Notre Dame. Ohio State, an 8.5-point favorite in this matchup. A lot of conversation around the sport right now about how late into this we are. It's January the 20th. It's the first edition of the college football playoff, of the 12-team college football playoff. Would it make sense to move the season up, the calendar up, in college football as we move forward here? I don't expect that to change next year, but I do think that'll probably become a conversation point at some point. Would you be better served if your college football moving your season up and maybe starting a week earlier, maybe where week zero is right now becomes week one? There's a lot of conversation, too, about the Army-Navy game. Would they be better off moving the Army-Navy game and potentially starting the season with that? I think that's an intriguing idea. The 12-team playoff, when your team's not in it, it's a long process. Now, look, it's Notre Dame and Ohio State. I'm sure the ratings tonight will be really good, right? It's two iconic brands, two teams that have been around for a long time that have a rich history. So I would imagine the ratings, provided that there's a semi-decent game tonight, are going to be pretty good. But just something to keep an eye on the college football front as you move forward here. Would it make more sense to move up the calendar and to start things off a little sooner so you can get the playoff done earlier in the calendar? Now, a lot of people have thrown out, like, the national championship should be on January 1st every year and you should play it in the Rose Bowl. I don't know that I love the idea of having the national championship game in the same spot every year, but I do understand the thought process behind moving that part of it up. But we'll see what happens tonight. Hopefully a good game between Notre Dame and Ohio State. That's going to do it for us today here on the program. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Chasing Big Joe is coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.